In the studio now, I have Grace Willance, and we're going to talk a few things. Grace, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, still, I'm just looking at the clock. It's still morning early, for another 10 minutes anyway. Can we talk, first of all, before we talk about yourself, I would like to, your thoughts on 9/11 now coming up to the anniversary, 10 years.
Yeah, well...
Because you're a New Yorker.
I am. I'm originally from New York City and downtown New York, not too far from where the World Trade Centers were. I grew up in Greenwich Village. So, it's an event that I remember quite well. And it's funny, 10 years on, it doesn't feel like it was 10 years ago. It feels a lot more recent.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I have trouble sort of trying to parse my thoughts or remembering back. I do remember where I was on the day, but sort of the order in which things happened. I think it was such a surreal moment. That a
I
lot
suppose
of my
like
thoughts,
everyone else, you know where you were.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was 16 years old and I was in high school. And I went to school all the way uptown in Manhattan and I lived all the way downtown. And I just remember we were in our first class of the day and a teacher burst into the room to say a plane has just flown into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And we were all sort of just sitting there stunned.
I think everyone probably thought it was an accident the first time, the first one, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Shortly after that, I think the school administrators didn't quite know what to do. So they called us all into an assembly to try and put some structure on the day or a procedure for kind of wrapping up the school day and figuring out how we'd all get home and get mm-hmm. back to our families. And, I remember one of my friends stood up and immediately asked, you know, was this a terrorist attack? And nobody knew anything at that mm-hmm. point. So, we went back to classes and were glued to radios and televisions until parents could collect us.
There's been a series of programs. I was talking to you about it last night at the party. There's a series of programs on the telly on each channel in different guises about the day, different aspects of it. But, excuse me, each time I see the program, I was in London at the time, and every time I see something about it, especially about what happened itself with the towers and people coming out and all that, it brings me straight back to 2001 in London, into a street and a market where I was standing that day when I heard about it and then watching it that night. Would you be the same when you say that, like that it doesn't seem like 10 years that...
Yeah, there are some things that I remember really well because it was an uptown school and most of the girls who went there lived in the area. They wouldn't let you leave until somebody could vouch for you or pick you up or something like that. But because I lived downtown, I remember I remember trying to get in contact with my mother mm-hmm. and the phone lines were down. I don't know if they were down or if too many people were making phone calls, but I couldn't get through. And I remember thinking, where I live is far enough away, I don't think anything's wrong there, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so, it was such a flurry. It was really discombobulated on the day. I just remember being in the school and, everybody else was being collected. And I remember my friend's father worked in one of the buildings not far away, close enough that he could see it. And when he came to pick her up, I remember she said it was the first time she'd ever seen her father cry. It was quite scary. And as I said, I couldn't get through. So I just felt like I needed to get home. Ended up lying to my teachers and saying I did get through and my mother wanted me to leave. And I just I walked about 100 city blocks downtown because
wow.
the subways had stopped and the buses. Mm-hmm. Nothing was going downtown.
And are you surprised in any way by the reaction around the world, especially in Ireland, to what happened that day? I mean, some great commemorations happening in Ireland over the weekend. Were you surprised, though, with the general global reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reaction in Ireland makes a lot of sense to me because I know a lot of firefighters were Irish, and I remember probably for me the eeriest, creepiest thing about watching the coverage of the attacks was when camera crews would be on site or as close to Ground Zero as they could get. And you'd hear this high-pitched humming noise. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching all these and everybody's going, what is that? What is that? And later reports came out saying that these are actually the alarms that firefighters wear and they start sounding off when a firefighter hasn't been moving for, say, 5, 10, 15 minutes or so. And I just remember that being terrifying, thinking, you know, the rescue crews who are running in are not coming out again.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the documentaries I saw, there was two French brothers over there and they were doing a documentary on the fire stations, and one of the fire stations actually nearly parallel to the towers, and they were interviewing them and that. It was a fascinating documentary. And all of a sudden, when the first one had hit, he swung his camera up and he thought it was an accident, and then he kept his camera there, and then the second one came in. It was a great documentary, and then everything that happened after that with the firemen. And also, when you mentioned there, fire and police, there's a place, maybe, I can't remember, but it has a funny sounding name, where there's as many Irish living there, or Irish-related people living there, as there is in Boston. It's like a beach. It has a funny name, I can't remember. It was on the other night, but it was about the Irish in Boston. So
okay.
That, as you said, that's what the reaction in Ireland is.
Yeah.
There's some commemorations. And yourself, the weekend, are you in Ireland for the weekend?
I am, yeah. I'll be here,
okay.
Yeah. But my touch base with family and everyone at home. One more thing I will say quickly is that I remember on the day, I actually didn't go, well, no, I went directly home. And I saw my mother, and she'd said that after the first one hit, she went up to our roof because you used to be able to see them from our windows, and an even better view from our roof. And she said from there, she watched the second one go down.
Wow.
So
I'd say that's indelibly in our mind now for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, us watching on the telly, it brings me back. And the same when you say you see it as well, it seems like yesterday. So we're actually seeing that must be...
Yeah,
it'll always be there.
I think it's hard to process as well, because you see, it was so much like a disaster movie. It's so much like what you see done with special effects in films. It was, watching it was so hard to believe it was real. You just felt numb. And even now in sort of media, I see little like almost allusions to it. Like even I was watching 28 Days Later there a few days ago. And there's this moment when the central character comes out of a coma and the streets are deserted.
That's right, yeah.
And there are all these missing posters up everywhere. I just thought, God, that's what the village was like in those days. I mean, the area was covered in ash.
I even think of how iconic the towers were in every movie you'd watch from
Absolutely.
Years ago. Even I think it's Ants, the animated movie with Woody... What's his name? But even in that, Woody Allen, it starts off with the towers in the background, and every old film before 2001 that's made around New York, they're always featured, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was a great film made about this tightrope walker, Philip Petit.
Yeah, yeah.
Who had walked across the Twin Towers. And he wrote a great book about how much they meant to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of weird reading that after September 11th and... thinking about the towers in different ways, and I don't know how they were conceived through different types of media and what they meant to different people.
But I think as a city as a people, they showed great resilience coming back so quickly themselves. They were very defiant, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Determined not to let the spirit be broken.
I think so. Mayor Giuliani was actually great at the time. Sort of Bush was hidden in some secret bunker and Cheney was hidden somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So there was... felt very leaderless for a while, but Giuliani was great about kind of trying to bring spirit back to New York and get people to live less in fear. And I remember a couple days after it had happened, I think it was either the weekend or we just hadn't been brought back to school yet, but I was walking to get groceries and there was former President Clinton walking down the street with a lot of people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see people arriving from other states with carloads of food and whatever else, which I don't know if there was really a need for, but it was nice to see other people.
It was a gesture, if nothing else, yeah.
Yeah, coming out and showing support and, you know, trying to give people's days a bit more structure and, yeah.
Okay, I just want to mention to people anyway that... there's a commemoration concert at the Convention Centre on tomorrow, and it's on at 4 p.m. So if you want to go down there, but over the city. Just before I let you go, Grace, I want to talk about your time in Ireland.
Sure.
Have you gotten used to us yet and our sense of humour?
I think I'm adjusting slowly. I find Father Ted funny now, so
okay.
Maybe that's a good sign.
That's because you recognise so many around.
Yeah.
Is there any quirks that surprised you when you came first? I mean, what, 2004 or so, when you come over, a young girl, what sort of quirk? Were you surprised by anything?
Yeah, I definitely didn't realise that I thought I spoke the language, but there were some language barriers. I was joking with Pat Meehan about this recently, but the very first thing I said to an Irish person when I got off the plane in Ireland, I went up to a taxi man and asked him for a ride. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way.
There's lots of different sounds means different things. I always remember being a kid watching John Wayne in what was the name, Chisholm, I think it was, and he used the B word, bollocks, and that, you know. But over there, it means an idiot in America.
Yeah.
But you're talking about. And I remember thinking, John Wayne's cursing. It was a big shock, but that's the type of misconceptions. But you've decided to stay here now. You mean, was your intention to stay for so long?
Not originally. I came over to study the Irish language. Stupidly came to Dublin, where hardly anybody speaks it.
Okay.
But I met my partner, and you know, I've met a lot of great people here. There were times during the boom when I felt it wasn't what I expected, and it wasn't a place I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I know the recession is really hard on a lot of people, but in some ways, I think it's brought out some of the best in people. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, during the 80s, you had great music and creativity coming out of Ireland. So I do think it's actually exciting being here at this time to see the direction Ireland is going.
So you've been Dublinified, as they say.
Yeah, I'm slowly becoming a dub. Okay. Won't do my Dublin accent for you. I might get punched in the face.
So if someone, if someone says that, and you say, re.
You'll re.
Okay. All right. Enjoyed the party last night. It was good, wasn't it?
Oh, it was grand.
Some great music
nice.
There.
Yeah.
I love the banjos anyway. Yeah. Listen, Grace, I'll have to get you in again and talk about a little bit more about yourself and your time in Ireland, because I'm sure you have some stories that you could tell us. And again, before you go, you work here in Near FM as well, and you have some great projects going. If you could remind us about those.
Yeah, I run the Intercultural Project. It's a training and production initiative. Basically, we bring in 8 people. Half of them are Irish nationals. Half of them are from outside the EU, like myself. And we deliver a free FETAC Level 4 in community radio and intercultural media literacy, and then facilitate these 8 participants becoming a production team to create their own series on interculturalism in Ireland. And the series runs for 13 weeks, though it can run longer if you want. But we're just wrapping up the first phase of the project now. And recruitment actually started yesterday for the next round of the project. So if there's anybody listening who would like to learn about interculturalism, talk about issues that matter to them, make radio programs, get a FETAC accreditation, they should just email me. I'm grace@near.ie. And they can also just ring me if they have any questions. My office number is 01-848-5211. And we welcome applications from everybody. I mean, the last round was so dynamic and wonderful.
Okay, that's great. So you can get in touch with Grace here at Near FM. Let me think of it. 848-5211, isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay, or you can look up Grace at Near FM. Okay, Grace, as I say, I'll have to get you in again. We talk a little more about the projects and about your time in Ireland as well. But in the meantime, the break a little bit late, but who cares? I was enjoying myself. Thanks very much, Grace.
Thank you so much.